A Dialogue of Comfort Against Tribulation by St. Thomas More. Book 1, Chapter 3. I will in my poor mind assign, for the first comfort, the desire and longing to be comforted by God. And not without some reason call I this the first cause of comfort. For as the cure of that person is in a manner desperate, who hath no will to be cured, so is the comfort of that person desperate, who desireth not his own comfort. And here shall I note you two kinds of folk who are in tribulation and heaviness, one sort that will not seek for comfort, and another sort that will. And again, of those that will not, there are also two sorts. For the first, there are the sort who are so drowned in sorrow that they fall into a careless, deadly dullness, regarding nothing, thinking almost of nothing, no more than if they lay in a lethargy. With them it may so befall that wit and remembrance will wear away and fall even fair from them. And this comfortless kind of heaviness in tribulation is the highest kind of the deadly sin of sloth. Another kind there are, who will seek for no comfort, nor yet receive none, but in their tribulation, be it loss or sickness, are so testy, so fuming, and so far out of patience, that it profiteth no man to speak to them. And these are as furious with impatience as though they were in half a frenzy. And from a custom of such behavior, they may fall into one full and whole. And this kind of heaviness in tribulation is even a dangerous high branch of the mortal sin of ire. Then is there, as I told you, another kind of folk, who fain would be comforted. And yet are they of two sorts too. One sort are those who, in their sorrow, seek for worldly comfort. And of them shall we now speak the less, for the diverse occasions that we shall afterwards have to touch upon them in more places than one. But here will I say this, which I learned of St. Bernard. He who in tribulation turneth himself unto worldly vanities to get help and comfort from them, fareth like a man who in peril of drowning catcheth whatsoever cometh next to hand, and that holdeth he fast, be it never so simple a stick. But then that helpeth him not, for he draweth that stick down under the water with him, and there they lie, both drowned together. So surely, if we accustom ourselves to put our trust of comfort in the delight of these childish worldly things, God shall, for that foul fault, suffer our tribulation to grow so great that all the pleasures of this world shall never bear us up, but all our childish pleasure shall drown with us in the depth of tribulation. The other sort is, I say, of those who long and desire to be comforted by God. And as I told you before, they undoubtedly have a great cause of comfort, even in that point alone, that they consider themselves to desire and long to be comforted by Almighty God. This mind of theirs may well be cause of great comfort to them, for two great considerations. One is that they see themselves seek for their comfort where they cannot fail to find it. For God both can give them comfort and will. He can, for he is almighty. He will, for he is all good, and hath himself promised, "Ask, and you shall have." He who hath faith, as he must needs have, who shall take comfort, cannot doubt but what God will surely keep his promise. and therefore hath he a great cause to be of good comfort, as I say, in that he considereth that he longeth to be comforted by him who, his faith maketh him sure, will not fail to comfort him. But here, consider this. I speak here of him who in tribulation longeth to be comforted by God. Such a man holdeth himself content, whether God comfort him by taking away or diminishing the tribulation itself, or by giving him patience and spiritual consolation therein. For if he long only to have God take his trouble from him, he cannot so well warrant that mind for a cause of so great comfort. For a man may desire that who never mindeth to be the better, and also may he miss the effect of his desire, because his request is haply not good for him. And of this kind of longing and requiring we shall have occasion hereafter to speak further. But he who, referring the manner of his comforting to God, desireth of God to be comforted, asketh a thing so lawful and so pleasing to God, that he cannot fail to fare well. And therefore hath he, as I say, great cause to take comfort in the very desire itself. Another cause hath he to take of that desire a very great occasion of comfort. For since his desire is good, and declareth to him that he hath a good faith in God, it is a good token unto him that he is not an abject, cast out of God's gracious favour, since he perceiveth that God hath put such a virtuous, well-ordered appetite in his mind. For as every evil mind cometh of the world, and ourselves, and the devil, so is every good mind inspired into man's heart, either immediately, or by the mean of our good angel, or other gracious occasion, by the goodness of God himself. And what a comfort, then, may this be to us, when we by that desire perceive a sure undoubted token that towards our final salvation our Saviour is himself so graciously busy about us. Chapter 4. Forsooth, good uncle, this good mind of longing for God's comfort is a good cause of great comfort indeed. Our Lord in tribulation send it to us. But by this I see well that woe may they be who in tribulation lack that mind, and who desire not to be comforted by God, but either are of sloth or impatience comfortless, or else of folly seek for their chief ease and comfort anywhere else.
That is, good cousin, very true, as long as they stand in that state. But then you must consider that tribulation is a means to drive them from that state, and that is one of the causes for which God sendeth it to man. For albeit that pain was ordained by God for the punishment of sins, so that they who never do now but sin, cannot but be ever punished in hell. Yet in this world, in which his high mercy giveth men space to be better, the punishment that he sendeth by tribulation serveth ordinarily for a means of amendment. Saint Paul himself was sorely against Christ, till Christ gave him a great fall, and threw him to the ground, and struck him stark blind. And with that tribulation he turned to him at the first word, and God was his physician, and healed him soon after, both in body and soul, by his minister Ananias, and made him his blessed apostle. Some are, in the beginning of tribulation, very stubborn and stiff against God, and yet at length tribulation bringeth them home. The proud King Pharaoh did abide and endure two or three of the first plagues, and would not once stoop at them. But then God laid on a sorer lash that made him cry to him for help. And then sent he for Moses and Aaron, and confessed himself for a sinner, and God for good and righteous. And he prayed them to pray for him, and to withdraw that plague, and he would let them go. But when his tribulation was withdrawn, then was he wicked again. So was his tribulation occasion of his profit, and his help, in turn, was cause of his harm. For his tribulation made him call to God, and his help made hard his heart again. Many a man who in an easy tribulation falleth to seek his ease in the pastime of worldly fantasies, in a greater pain, findeth all those comforts so feeble that he is fain to fall to the seeking of God's help. And therefore is, I say, the very tribulation itself, many times, a means to bring the man to the taking of the aforementioned comfort therein, that is, to the desire of comfort given by God. For this desire of God's comfort is, as I have proved you, great cause of comfort itself. Chapter 5. Howbeit, though the tribulation itself be a means oftentimes to get a man this first comfort in it, yet sometimes itself alone bringeth not a man to it. And therefore, since unless this comfort be had first, there can in tribulation no other good comfort come forth, we must consider the means by which this first comfort may come. Meseemeth that if the man of sloth or impatience or hope of worldly comfort have no mind to desire and seek for comfort of God, those who are his friends, who come to visit and comfort him, must before anything put that point in his mind, and not spend the time, as they commonly do, in trifling and in turning him to the fantasies of the world. They must also move him to pray God to put this desire in his mind. For when he once getteth it, he then hath the first comfort. And without doubt, if it be well considered, a comfort marvelously great. His friends who thus counsel him must also, to the attaining thereof, help him to pray for him themselves, and cause him to desire good folk to help him to pray for it. And then, if these ways be taken to get it, I doubt not, but the goodness of God shall give it. End of chapter 5.